about the issues of merit and virtue. And the sixth patriarch used six phrases to explain what is considered as merit and what is considered as virtue. Do you still remember what we talked about?
大家记得吗？渐进是功，平等是德。这句话，这个道理，大家有没有听懂上个礼拜讲的道理？有谁愿意？我们就因为我就 summarize 哈，简单的，很简单的哈，尽量简单化，把这里面的真正道理讲出来。
So last week we started talking about seeing your own virtue, seeing your own nature is merit, and equanimity is virtue. Do you really understand what it's talking about?
有没有谁愿意那个愿意讲一下？
Is anyone able to explain it to the rest of us?
上礼拜讲的道理是什么？没有勇气啊！好，林美。功是什么的？
功，你已经讲很清楚了。内心
谦
下是
功，外是德。不是，上礼拜讲渐进是功，平等是德。这一句讲，上礼拜就讲这个而已。
啊，渐进是功，平等是德，就是我们对人对事中不带着自我，不求回报，那就是功德。如果心中我们有所求，而是为了自己想得到什么，那只是个福德，不是功德。内心就是对内跟外都是视为平等的，没有你我之分。阿弥陀佛。
So someone in the audience explain and try to recapture what was talked about last week, saying that equanimity is in itself merit and virtue. So whenever you do a good deed, you do not seek for repayment and just conduct the deed as it is, that is considered as merit and virtue. That is one answer in the audience.
他也没有讲错哈，周老师他也没讲错，到底有没有讲错？但是好像不是跟我的问题不是很刚好吻合哈。问题是讲平等嘛？不上礼拜是主要是讲渐进是公平等是德嘛？没有关系，这个总之你没讲错就好了哈。
The explanation is quite correct. However, it's not, it doesn't directly address what I asked. The question that I posed to you is based on the lecture last week. And what was talked about last week was seeing your own nature is merit. So what does that mean?
Nature一旦我们用功了，容易用功了，我们能够开发我们自己的本性呢，自然我们看出去呢，看到一切众生都是平等性，这是重点嘛？有没有？上次不是有那个，因为讲个举例吗？办公室的事情嘛，因为觉得还有人在就是不同意嘛，这个西方人的观念不容易，这个重点，这个是这不容易哦，看出去呢，你眼光看出去呢，一切众生都是平等。啊，我们有立足点的平等，还有这个事项上的平等，所以有不同的那种，因为这个真的大善知识呢，对待人呢，看出去当然都知道是大家众生平等，但是很多因为他因缘不同，所以他的对待呢就会有所不同。
So,
那不懂的人，他是觉得怎么会有这么连这个大善知识也这么大小心？其实他是不，我们世界不懂这里面的奥妙。里面的道理在里面。
So last week we talked about merit, and in fact, exerting effort in practice is considered as merit. And I don't know if you remember the example that was given last week regarding the situation in someone's office where this person did not get along with his or her coworker. And we tried to explain how you should see all sentient beings as being equal.And on the surface, it may be difficult to understand and actually cause quite a bit of confusion. Where actually the nature of sentient beings are indeed equal, however, the phenomenon and the way to treat them may be different.
The microphone is a bit of a problem. Anderson will take care of it. 我们继续走，我们再见了，接着念念无字呢，常见本性真实妙用，名为功德。那这个那有的大德是把这个合在一起，就是属于大乘，就是跟见性是公平的，就是合在一起讲哈。那如果合在一起讲呢，其实可以说它是怎么，就是怎么用，就是修行的方法，应该说是重点，就是修行的方法，怎么要常常怎么去念念无字。
So we're going to move on to the next phrase, to be unobstructed in every thought, constantly seeing the true, real, wonderful function of your original nature is called merit and virtue. And oftentimes past lecturers or great masters, they will combine this phrase and explain it together with the one prior to it, seeing your own nature is merit and equanimity is virtue.And the real essence of these sentences together is referring to how you should approach your practice. It's pointing out the key point in cultivation. And it's trying to explain how to be unobstructed in your every single thought.
念念无字的意思就是你每心里每个念头呢，没有被任何东西挡住。念头起来过去就是让它过去，心里头不再对这个念头呢有任何的这种牵牵挂挂的事情。
The so-called to be unobstructed in every thought is talking about letting every thought rise and pass without being attached to any of them.
你心里头没有任何的牵挂，没有任何障碍呢，你就能够见到你的本性。
If you don't have any attachment in your mind and you don't have any obstruction in your thoughts, then you will be able to see your true nature.
相反的呢，你心里常常很多的挂碍，或者说很多障碍呢，你当然不能见到你自己本性。
On the other hand, if you have a lot of attachment and a lot of obstructions in your mind, then it would be very impossible for you to see your true nature.
心里头意念呢，没有障碍，没有牵挂呢，能够常常见到自己的本性呢，那是一种，当然这边讲的，常见本性真实妙用，那是一种什么样的境界呢？我们可以说这种，非常那种心境，那种状况是一种非常心是一种非常灵活而自在的那种智慧，还有另外一个就是非常有无限广大的心胸，那就讲慈悲。那就是我们每一个人本性的境界是这样子，那才是真正的心的功用。
To be able to not have any attachment in every single thought and have no obstructions, and you'll be able to see your true nature. And what is this true nature? It's actually wondrous and very nimble, and it's also vast without borders.And to be able to be in the state of your true nature, compassion will also naturally arise.
我们呢，普通人的心呢，常常都是有很多的牵牵挂挂。就看看自己，你们心里头是不是常常有很多的东西，常常很多东西的牵挂，或者说我们常常说，一个形容词说提不起又放不下，就是。我们凡夫的境界提不起又但是又放不下，那不叫做念念无字。
For us ordinary sentient beings, we tend to have a lot of attachments and obstructions in our thoughts, and we are constantly worried and attached to many different things, and there's actually a saying in Chinese that you're not able to take it, at the same time you're not able to let go, and that is the state of ordinary sentient beings. And that would be quite different, actually it's complete opposite of this phrase, to be unobstructed in every thought and seeing your true nature.
在过去在农禅寺呢，常常会有这个师父也是在走路，被弟子们的一些信众拦住师父说，还要很有什么事呢？师父问他什么事啊？说师父啊，昨天又梦见什么？梦见什么？很紧张啊，就是好像他这梦对他很有很大的意义呢。这个师父说，做梦就是做梦嘛。这个我们白天已经够忙了，白天已经够多的事情要照顾了。这那点梦呢，也让你这么 这么牵牵挂挂，这么紧张，这么这一直跑来找师宴找师父，看到到底怎么办，到底会有什么事要发生呢？这就是在过去农场是常常会有信众，就是我以为他什么事情，其实就是他昨天梦了什么，心里就很担心会发生什么事呢？就来请问了，叫请问高明了。
In the past, in the Nongchan Monastery in Taipei, with Shifu was often stopped by disciples or stopped by people as he is walking around, and people will come to him and really frustrated and asking him, "Oh, Shifu, yesterday I had this, I dreamt about this and that. What does that mean? You know, is it a bad omen, etc., etc." And Shifu would answer them saying, "It's merely a dream. Let it go. And in our everyday, in the daytime, waking moment, you're already busy enough. Your mind is already too preoccupied with so many things. And so you don't have to worry about things in your dreams." But that people usually don't understand that, and they are really concerned about the content of their dreams, and then they will come to the temple to seek advice from 师父。
还有呢，请问师父的，还有就是他去算命。我们西方，我前两天跟他过 over 的时候，还问他西方有没有流行算命呢？有没有？这边有流行算命吗？
Another example is in Taiwan, oftentimes people will go to fortune tellers. And I was discussing this with the interpreter about 2 days ago, and we were wondering whether seeking advice from fortune tellers is also a practice that is common in the States. Is it so?
Wow, I thought the West is very rational.
I thought Westerners tend to be very logical.So I'm surprised to hear that.
这个我们在台湾还有什么算命中还有什么九千八卦？这个英文怎么讲？八卦，那里八呀，然后看签呐，说然后看你哪一支签。
In Taiwan, there's also a practice where they would draw from a stick, and then on the stick there would be special messages. It's also another method of fortune telling.
那有一位信众哈，他也是他不知道是什么宫啦，他也是卦杯啦，他是卦杯啦，卦杯就是说他会说他今年是会有灾难，啊会见红，啊然后他就很他想说怎么会这样，然后他很当心里挂碍着啦，放不下，所以他就又再找另外一家去算命，算命之后他啊也是一样，就是说他会有今年就是会倒霉。可能家里会有什么家破人亡的事情发生，然后这样严重了哈，严重他就一定要跑去找师父看看怎么办。
So there was another example of another disciple of 师父whom went to seek advice from fortune teller. And so at the first place, the fortune teller told him that, oh, you're going to have a really bad year. Disaster is going to fall upon you. So this person became extremely...anxious, and so he or she went to the next person, next fortune teller, seeking for second opinion, and the second person told him the same thing. So this person became very, very preoccupied and again ran to Shifu to seek for his opinion.
So you can hear Shifu how to answer. This is very interesting. So I said, this 卦杯的说你会见红哈，那问他怎么样才不会见红啊？算命说你会有灾难，啊、怎么问他怎么样才能不会见红有灾难？反问回去啊。
So guess what 师父 said? 师父 said, oh, so you're telling me the fortune teller told you that you're going to see red, and in Chinese, whenever they see red, it means blood will be shed, and so you're going to see red.So, Shifu asked this person, this student, back, saying, now, why won't you tell me? Do you think there's any way you can avoid this disaster, avoid seeing red?
这个对方的弟子就想说，他们没有办法呢，他们只能告诉我会发生这些事情，他们没办法说怎么去解决。
So the disciple answered Shifu saying, oh, you know, the fortune tellers, they only told me that disaster is going to fall upon me, but they couldn't give me any solutions. They simply tell me that I'm going to be in trouble without offering any ways to get out of it.
哦、师父跟他说那很简单啊他说你会见红就拿一块红布出来你就见红了。
So 师父 said in return that, oh, so they told you you're going to see red, right? So this is what I'm telling you. Go home and find a piece of red cloth and hanging over the wall. So that's the so-called seeing red. Then you don't have to worry about bloodshed anymore.
这是师父幽默齁、哦。师父说这我们人就是这样子的本来是反正就是没有事嘛齁但是就是一点点的自己就找事了就是一点点的什么就是从风声鹤唳就不能过生活就很紧张。
So that is 师父 special kind of humor. And, from this example, 师父 explained to us that oftentimes, we are just too attached to different things. Whereas originally, everything should be fine.And, we should have no attachment.
但师父还是有回答齁他这更正式的回答说是不是就是说佛教的方法很简单啊就是你就常念佛常念观音菩萨或者是常念阿弥陀佛啊然后呢你还要很生活之中呢要出门呢做什么事情呢要非常的小心要很谨慎不要跟人家吵架。当然不要跟他打架了就是要就是回到这个方法来叫他常念佛常念菩萨非常谨慎小心。
And aside from demonstrating his humor, 师父 also, actually provided a more concrete solution, a Buddhist way of dealing with potential disasters or mishaps in daily life.师父 said, one method is to recite the Buddha's name or recite Bodhisattva's names. And in every waking moment, try to recite as much as possible and be mindful in all your actions. Do not be careless and do not be hasty. And also, when you go out, don't be too aggressive and engage in argument with other people. And that's how you protect yourself.
这个就是讲到佛法的方法齁佛教的方法念菩萨的名号。其实我们刚刚上次讲到佛法讲因果讲因缘。然后因到果因要能得感得果报呢其实中间还有一个缘的条件在里头。所以我们今生会遭遇种种事情呢可能过去就有那因在里头。那怎么样让它果报能够什么大事化小说甚至化无呢那就我们众生在现身呢就在缘上面呢都要多加些努力。就我们现在的一切的起心动念一时要做所行呢你可以说就是可能能够避免可能我们过去是怎么造不好的事情呢那我们如果尽量小心改善的话呢这果报呢也会跟着相对的改善。
So, the recitation of Buddha's names or recitation of Bodhisattva's name is a special Buddhist technique, a method to guard our mind and to seek for protection. And actually in Buddhism, we also talk about the notion of cause and effect as well as the notion of cause and condition.And so whatever that happens to us in our life, in our present life, all of them happens because of past causes. And because of the cause in the past, there's going to be fruit, results, and effect that derive from that cause. But it doesn't mean that everything is destined and we're doomed. There's also the notion of condition. And we can actually be mindful and work onaltering the condition and to see to better our lives.
念佛菩萨名号呢能够改善齁因为我们相信佛菩萨的名号呢有这个力量就有佛菩萨的多生累积的修持功德呢已经就是含摄在这名号里头。再这样我们念它的时候呢要加上专注就是这种专注力呢让我们心当下也能够安定也能够同时呢冥冥之中呢佛菩萨的加持让很多事情呢 就冥冥之中就能消化化解。
And so, so the recitation of Buddha's name, Bodhisattva's name, is one method. And why is that? And one of the reasons is because Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in their past eons of cultivation, they have accumulated a lot of merit and virtue. And based on that, a special power or strength has been derived. And so we could connect to this special power by reciting their names.And to help us. But on the other hand, as you are reciting Buddha's and Bodhisattva's names, your mind is a lot more settled and focused. And by being mindful, you can also improve your life.
这个一定要自己去体验哈。我相信在座一定有自己这方面的体验吧？有没有？自己念佛菩萨名号呢，让自己感觉到身心方面慢慢也安静、也平静。乃至于更有很多的，甚至呢，这很多事情呢，你就有更甚至会有，你还要心有一点光明，知道很多事情，知道怎么去处理，有没有这种经验
？So, do you have such positive experience yourself from reciting Buddha's and Bodhisattva's names? Have you derived any positive experience based on that yourself?
有没有？有的，请举手一下。好好
，Anyone？
没有，他们有人很棘手，你这个很客气，不敢棘手哈，怕法师会追问呢，法师追问那境界，因为法师常来这一招。
Some of you are too modest, and you are afraid to raise your hand because you are afraid that I'm going to ask you more questions about your experience.
当然，我们念佛菩萨这个师父常常交代哈，我们念佛的时候呢，其实你尤其在我们碰到恐怖的境界的时候。我们会是碰到这些，我们会把他的佛菩萨名号当做一个武器，当做一个什么一个什么一个或者什么叫我们这个战器武器攻打的武器叫什么？不是雷射，当做什么炮箭？当做炮箭或当做宝剑，然后攻击那个要危害我们的这个，其实这种心态也不对哈、哦。你就是保持平静，就听着自己念佛的音声，听着佛话音声。这样就奏效，当时还是要相当的时间，要一定要相当时间，慢慢的才那个才能够有那种感应道交，好，但是基本上我们不要把这个佛名号呢，把当作一个武器，一个什么去要想去炮轰对方，把对方打倒，这个心态呢也不正确，那常常不容易见效啊，只是对方比这个也比你更厉害，他可以念更多。更正确说你还念不对，他说你念不正确，我再教别人教你。
So oftentimes when you are reciting Buddha's names, your mind will be more settled, and by settling your mind, being focused, a natural wisdom will arise and bring you light in state of confusion. But sometimes when people are in state of terror or when they're really scared.And they resort to the method of reciting Buddha's name. But sometimes, incorrectly, they would use the Buddha's name as sort of a weapon. And they will wield the sword of Buddha's name and thinking it can chase away all bad experience or bad spirits. If you have that kind of mentality when you practice recitation, that is actually incorrect. When we recite Buddha's name, you're supposed to be mindful, paying attention to the sound and of the Buddha's name, and don't think of it as a weapon that you can wield around. And actually, if you want to use Buddha's name as a sword to hurt someone or to hurt other beings, they may actually come back and tell you that that's not the right practice of recitation.
这个念这个可能不是每个都能清楚，所以那个我们回到这个故事哈，所以这个弟子呢就是说这样简单就好嘛，这样就念佛菩萨名号，这样生活谨慎小心，这样就可以把问题解决嘛，把我这些什么灾难啊，甚至可能更大的人就能够没事嘛，他很疑惑。
So let's get back to what we're talking about, being unobstructed in every thought.And let's return to the example I was talking about with this guy seeking help from fortune tellers. So upon hearing Shifu's advice about how he should recite Buddha's name and be mindful in his daily conduct, this person actually gave rise to another question. And he asked, so that's it? The method is so simple? That's all I have to do, reciting Buddha's name and being mindful? That can protect me? Is that really so? He was not convinced.
师父说就是这么简单啊。 我只能教你这些啊，其他的我也没办法帮你啊。
And Shifu said, yes, it is really just this simple. Recite Buddha's name and being mindful. There's nothing else I can teach you. It's really not complicated.
师父说你就是念佛菩萨名号嘛，你就是生活谨慎小心，不要跟人家起冲突，其他的人就不用太担心，你担心也没有办法改善，担心也没有用，既然没有用，你心里就不要牵挂。 大家知道吗？觉得这后面这重点哦，担心你多担心也没有用啊。但是我们不知不觉，我们就习惯担心了，习惯心里就牵挂着。这就是我凡夫就是这样。所以听到这句道理呢，要学习，你担心也没有用，重点在担心也没有用，你就把它放下。So
Shifu answered, yes, it's really just this simple. It's not that complicated. And so just recite the Buddha's name and be mindful and be careful in your daily conduct. And why is that? Because even if you are really worried and anxious about what may happen to you in the future, your worry is not going to help you at all. So what's the use of being worried? And we have this habitual pattern of being concerned and fret unnecessarily. But it doesn't help to improve the situation. So you should let it go and let go of your attachment to being worried.
我其实我们众生我们智慧本来都是一样的，佛经告诉我们智慧本来都是一样，但是为什么有的人有智慧的能力，有的人没有？其中的关键呢，就是看你放得下放不下的问题。你心里是不是很乱？心里头是不是很乱？
And actually, all sentient beings have the same wisdom. We all have wisdom. But why is it that some people seem to have more of it and some people have no wisdom? And that is because people have different level of attachment. And the more attached you are to all different phenomena and thoughts, the less wisdom you will be able to be revealed. So, and so usually our mind is very chaotic and attached to many different things, and that's what's obstructing the natural wisdom from revealing itself.
再讲一个例子，这个在农禅寺的时候呢，有一个信众呢，他其实过去常常来听师父讲经啊，来听师父开示，常常会来到农禅寺，后有一阵子他没有来，失踪了，那师父就。 因为他跟师父可能蛮有互动的，所以师父注意到这么一个人，好像一下子不见了，所以师父就打电话给他，问他说怎么最近都没看到你来呀，没有来听经啊。好，谢谢。
Let me share another story with you. This is about another disciple in Taipei from the Longchan Monastery. And this person used to be quite devoted and would come to the temple very often. And this person probably had a lot of interaction with Shifu. So one day, this person just stopped coming. And because of the frequent interaction, Shifu noticed that this person has not been coming for quite a while. So Shifu called him and asked, what's going on? How come you're not here? You don't come anymore.
他说呢，他最近我心很乱啊，所以不敢到寺里头去听经啊。
And this person answered, lately, my mind has been very troubled, and because of this very troubled and uneased mind, I am afraid to come to the temple to attend to the lectures.
师父说：“哎呀，你真是愚痴啊！你就是乱，心乱才要到寺里头来。”
And Shifu then said to this person, "Well, if that's what you think, then you're actually wrong, and you're quite ignorant because." The very fact that your mind is troubled, you should actually come to the monastery even more to attend the lectures. It will help you.
这是真的哦，真的。其实很多的菩萨们心很乱呢，其实他们就会认识的人都带他到寺里头，当然不一定指我们这件事的，就是这基本上呢，我们只要佛教徒都会这样，心里头很乱的时候呢。 其实到寺里头走走拜拜佛呢，就是可能就是一个转机。
This is really true. A lot of people, when their mind is troubled, sometimes it's strange that they don't come. But actually, if your mind is troubled or confused or a lot of things are bothering you, you should come to the temple and talk to people and prostrate to the Buddha. And oftentimes, this will become a pivotal point and a turning point to your problems.
你们心里不好有几位是问号的
Many of you, maybe some of you are not quite convinced and you still have a question about this.
好，我们继续讲，那位弟子就讲说，哎呀，师父啊，这个，你没帮我帮我的忙啦，我的事情呢，佛法没有办法帮忙，我去到寺里头呢，只能听你讲经，啊，你没有帮我帮我的忙的，没办法帮得上我的忙。佛法没有办法帮得上我的忙。
So, let's get back to the story. So this disciple then answers, 师父, oh, 师父, you know, you can't help me. You can't help me at all. My problem cannot be solved by Buddha Dharma. It's not going to help me one bit.
我到寺里头只能听你讲经。
All I can do whenever I come to the temple is I listen to you talk or listen to you talk about the sutra. What good does it do? Can't help me.
哦，这个观念。不是很正确哦，来后面解释哈。
And this way of thinking, let me first make it clear to you, is not correct.
师父说不能用佛法解决，那用什么方法解决呢？
师父 asked this person, if you cannot solve it by Buddha Dharma, then what method can you rely on?
他说这个事情用世间法和国法来解决。
And the disciple then said.Well, then you use worldly methods or you use the law of a nation, of a country to solve this kind of my problem. Buddha Dharma can't help.
那师父说那用国法解决那解决了没有啊对方这个弟子说没有。
那师父 ask in return, if you say your problem can be solved by the law, then is your problem solved? And the student said, no, it hasn't been solved yet.
他说没有，那你就来龙禅寺吗？看看呢，师父用佛法来处理的时候怎么处理呀、啊、
？Then 师父 said, "Well, if the law cannot help you resolve your problem, then I suggest that you come to the monastery and let me show you how I can solve your problems by using the Buddha Dharma."
这个从这故事有看出，师父真的很慈悲哦，真的很慈悲，就是要帮众生呢解决发就是解决很多的问题，就是非常的慈悲，就是尽量就是希望帮助众生，利益众生。
Based on this example, we can see that 师父 is actually very compassionate. He tries his best using Buddha Dharma to help sentient beings solve their personal problems.
师父说这个佛法的处理呢，其实就是很简单。佛法讲因果哈，重视因果。所谓因果就是，如果我们欠人的，我们还。我们不欠人的呢，不还。
师父 said, the way to resolve problems using Buddha Dharma is actually quite simple, because in Buddhism we really strongly emphasize the notion of cause and effect. So based on cause and effect, from the past causes, if we actually do owe you something, then okay, we admit it and we will pay back this lifetime.But if we do not owe you anything, then we will not pay. We don't have to pay back.
我们欠人的要还哦，并不是说哦，要希望用另外的方法哦，并不是说我们欠人一个头，我们就要还人一个头。我们希望用另外的方法来还。
When I say repayment, oftentimes repayment doesn't have to happen in a one-to-one correspondence.For instance, in the past, if you owe someone a head, if you chop off someone's head, it doesn't mean in this lifetime you have to chop off your head to give it back to that person. We try to seek other methods of repayment.
我们可以救人呢，十次命或救五次命来还，这样子我们头就不需要还了，而且对方呢也就可以，可能就不需要死这么多次了。这是这个道理，佛法讲的这个因果的道理。
So an alternative method of payment could be if you owe someone a life or owe someone a head, instead of chopping your head off and give it back, you can try to save that person 5 times, 10 times as repayment. And this will be mutually beneficial.
所以还呢，并不是说我牵个头还个头，这样就这样的方法呢，是非常的这个就是冤冤相报，没办法一了百了。
So the method of repayment is if you think of it as owing someone a head and giving back a head, it's too direct and it actually doesn't lead anywhere. It's only people.Debt seeking debt, it will never end. It's a cyclical cycle. So you have to think about smarter ways, alternative ways for repayment.
So, 用佛法来处理世间的问题呢，就是我们要还的，应该要还了。但是这个还的方式呢，我们就是要讲究。看这个第一个呢，要想办法哈。第一个是帮自己的忙，第二个呢，也要帮对方的忙。
So, because of this unerring cause and effect.If you owe someone something, you have to pay back. But we have to be smart, intelligent about the method of repayment. And when you think about a method to pay back a past debt, you have to think about ways to help oneself as well as benefiting the other person. So again, it has to be mutually benefiting to be considered as a good method.
就是说这个如果非还不可那很简单那就还吧要命给命要人给人要钱给钱要东西给东西
So 师父 said to this person, if you really do owe the other person something, then you know, you have to pay back, there's no other way. And worse comes to worse,If this person wants money, you pay back money. If this person wants a life, then you pay back a life. There's no way out of it. You have to, because of cause and effect, you have to pay back.
要什么都给他吗？那我们自己心里就没问题了。但是还的方式呢，还是要讲究。这个技术上方法，技术上还是要去要就要自己的智慧的处理。对，当然这个钱的事情呢，可能是另外一样。
So you simply have to pay back, and but as to how you pay back, then you have to resort to your wisdom.
对，师父这么一阵跟他开导之后，他的问题大概解决了一半了，大概解决了一半了。
And once you are able to own up to your own debt and be willing to pay back, then you are actually able to let go a lot of your worries. And in this case, upon hearing what Shifu has said.This person was able to let go at least half of his worries.
我在讲到这个，尤其是我们欠人一个头哈，我想到曾经有过去曾经看过这个日本的一个也是佛教界的一个故事，真实故事，它发生在应该几百年前的，这个很早以前的事情。这个曾经这个这是讲那个浪子回头的故事啊。他过去的他们那过去日本那什么时代啊，那个我忘记，他日本的名字是很有意思，什么什么什么狼啊什么的，那些还有这个都有武士道之外，另外什么大将军，还有好多小三七，好多的幕府那些的，或者那个名字都很好，有蛮有意思的。结果这个他是一个这个原来是将军呢，不晓得阶位怎么大，反正就是跟上面更高的阶位的，他的一次他的主人齁、哦、的这个太太悠然，然后这个后来，这个好像是他又就因为这个关系呢，就一时失去那个就迷了迷惑嘛，就为了这个就杀了这个他的上面这个太太的先这个将这个夫人的这个先生呢，然后杀人就赶快或者逃，结果这个孩子他这个被杀的人后面有孩子，就要找这个杀父之仇，就找了十几年。
So again, as we're talking about repayment, and sometimes paying back ahead for your past killings, this reminds me of a story that I heard. It's a story from Japan, and it happened several hundred years ago. Back then, there was a general who had an affair with the wife of his superior.And because of this affair and because of confusion, this general actually ended up killing his superior, his boss. And so his superior had a kid, a child, and this child wanted to find the killer, the person who killed his father, and want to seek revenge. And it took him more than 10 years in the process of finding out who killed his father.
有十几年了，他就是很长时间，就他结果这个人杀人，他在做什么？他当然杀了人之后，他慢慢的他自己醒悟了，觉悟到他过去的行为是非常的不对，非常的不好，所以他自己很忏悔，知道他结果就躲到另外一个大山靠近山边的一个小村落，那边山那个山那个小村落呢，像还是被就是一个悬崖隔断的，所以两个村落呢的人要互相来往呢，非常的危险，常常有人跌下去。死亡的事情常常发生。那这个过去是杀人犯的人呢，他呢一念忏悔呢，觉得自己过去做了很多污秽的事情，一念忏悔呢，就是要当然是就赎罪的心情，而要多做善事利益人。所以他想怎么样能够搭一座桥起来，帮助这两个村落的人呢，能够减少这些后面发生那些灾难死亡的事情。所以他十几年来其实都在做这个事情。当然人有些越感动的帮忙，但有时候没有，是他自己默默的做在搭这个我忘记什么样的桥，慢慢他甚至用手去爬，整个人就投入在这个志向的这一志向的这个叫什么这个建桥的这个整个大业上，这是整个生命就投入上面，反正就是以他的这种投入呢来替自己赎罪吧。
And so the child of the superior went and tried to look for the killer, seeking for revenge, and took a long, long time. And what happened to the killer? The killer, after killing his superior and ran away, realized, gradually was able to see his own mistake and realize what a bad deed he had committed. So he started to repent.And he went to hide out in a remote village. And this village was on the mountain, and it was right next to a cliff, very steep cliff. And it's across the cliff, there was another village. And because of the cliff, villagers from both villages had great difficulty commuting back and forth.In fact, many people die in the process of trying to cross the cliff to get to the other place. So, after the killer went to hide out in this remote village and started to repent, he wanted to do something as a repayment. So he started to devote his entire life to building a village to help people cross this cliff.And sometimes he had help, and sometimes he had none. He had to just do it all by himself. But for over many, many years, over 10 years, he devoted his entire life and his entire mind to this big project.
所以这个他就是这样不断的就在就为这两个村落在奉献，在做搭桥的工作。那这个酒大概这个他的是这儿子哈，这个。被杀的这个儿子呢，找上来了，知道他这个人在这里，所以他来了。有一天他来了。
So the killer devoted himself completely, wholeheartedly to the project of building this bridge between the two villages. Eventually the kid of the superior actually found out about the whereabout of this killer.And was able to track him down. And so one day, he approached the killer. He found him and approached him.
他就当然就做到他的工作地方了。他这个过去的杀人，他知道这个人呢，就是来报仇的。他也没有抵抗，没有拒绝，说就来杀吧。他承认过去他犯了这错误，你杀吧。就是他就接受着他的惩罚。
So the child, now no longer a child, approached the killer, and the killer recognized the identity of the child, knowing that he's the offspring of the person whom he killed. So he said to the person seeking revenge, saying, yes, indeed, I do owe you life, and so, you know, go ahead, kill me. I have no regret. Go ahead.
这个儿子拿起刀，真的，他因为想要杀父之仇嘛，哦，我们这个人的观念就是这个，杀父之仇不报，就是不是什么，不孝啊。所以他拿起刀就要杀，但是他这个人呢，这个杀人犯在这边奉献了十几年的事迹，他已经知道了。他在这个深度一定是潜伏一阵子去打听啊，然后就知道某人在做什么、啊，他就知道，所以他的一举一动呢，其实都早就在他的调查之中，所以他也很被他的行为，被这位这个赵桥的这个人的这行为很感动，所以这个刀拿起来呢，他就杀不下去，最后这个他就把刀丢掉，抱着他就痛哭了，就是这样，就是这个，所以我在讲这个师父讲的这个例子呢，我想到这个我看过这个就是在日本发生的一个事，这有没有相应？有没有相应？就是师父讲的说，这个。我们可以想办法怎么还，我们不是说欠你个头我就砍一个头还给他，这个是冤冤相报，不是智慧的处理方法。你怎么样把你的余生呢去奉献给大众，是不是是利益众生，你可以就是救了好多人命啊，不止十条命啊，很多命都可以救。所以这个我觉得这个我所知道的这个故事呢，跟师父讲的这道理是相应的啊。到最后真的杀人，这个凶手找上门来还嘛，我就还了，但那时候已经他的心已经转换了，他心已经转换了，已经这个心情已经提升了，所以对于这个色身呢也了无挂碍了，他该做就所做皆办。
So the killer said, okay, go ahead. You know, I'm ready to pay back my past debt. Kill me. That's okay. So this person, the child seeking revenge, held the knife high.And wanting to strike the killer down, because you know, oftentimes in Asia, or there's a saying: if you don't seek revenge for your father or for your parent, you're not being filial. So to wanting to be filial, he feel he need to seek revenge. So he held his sword high, trying to strike down the killer. Yet at the same time.The child had already learned about all the good deeds the killer had done since the killing. He knew that the killer had repented and changed himself completely to try to benefit all the villagers. So even though the child had to seek for revenge, at the same time he was really touched by his deeds. So at the end, he wasn't able to strike down the killer, and instead he threw down the knife andhugged the killer, and both of them started crying. So anyway, based on this story, the true story from Japan, I make the connection between this story to what Shifu has said, that if you have a past debt, you do have to actually pay back, but you need to think about wise ways, intelligent ways to pay back. It doesn't mean... You owe someone a life, you have to necessarily give back a life. You seek intelligent ways to benefit all sentient beings. And in the case of this killer, he was able to find ways to benefit other people. So, through his repentance and through his active action of doing good deeds, he actually had no more attachment to his physical form, to his physical body, and he's willing to give in to repay his past debt.
所以诸位从这两个这个从师父开示跟这个日本的这个故事呢，你们没有得到启发啊？这个杀人这个人他有没有修行？有修行啊，而且是大修行 啊这个真的是佛法讲的，这个其实因到果呢，其实它是没有一定的，不是说一定造什么因就得什么果，这中间呢就是我们要用功要修行，可以改变不好的因呢，可以改变成然后好一点，或甚至你不用再去接受这果报，就看你的努力，这之间的看你下了多少的功夫。如果我们肯像那位日本的例子呢，那真的是那就完全的转变了。他没想到去逃，他不想逃，就是接受，他就觉得他已经就是接受，这个心境是完全转换。
So, have you derived any insight from the stories and as well as from what Shifu taught? about repayment and about intelligent ways of repayment. So what do you think? Do you think the killer is a true practitioner? So he actually was. He was a true practitioner. And in fact, his ability to accept what he had done in the past and to accept the fact that he had to pay back has already transcended his mind. And
他有改变心境，
心境改变了，所以他不会逃。他过去是怕凶手，就是这儿子早上来杀他，叫他逃啊逃啊。最后呢，这个他觉得就找到个地方，发现到这个地方了，他觉得哎，这么他看到这大家死亡这么多呢，就他发起一个悲心，要开始要建桥，就这个加这个。不管是什么桥，忘了或者什么讲什么，就是他的发起他悲心，他利益人的心，
okay.
他的心情的转，在从之中慢慢，而且在工作中当中呢，其实很辛苦的，所以说难忍能忍，难行能行，他这个就用手去做种种那些铺桥的这事情。
So he was able to accept what he had done in the past and willing to pay for his past debt, and so even in Buddhism we talk about.Cause and conditions and cause and effect, it doesn't mean that everything is fixed, is static. Actually, through our own practice and efforts, we can still change conditions or we can alter past causes to bring about a better result.
这辛苦的在户外嘛，风吹雨淋啊，什么这种种的这个大自然那个，他都是接受，反正就一心一意想要做。想要利益这些菩萨，这些的居民，那心呢，就是转那种一种心境的转换。
So this killer, he was able to not shy away from any difficulties and any challenges. You know, building a bridge outside is really difficult, regardless of rains and wind. But the killer was just single-mindedly wanting to benefit the villagers and.Again, through his action and through this transformation of his mind, he was able to bring a better result to his past deed.
所以如果我们的果报没有改变呢，我自认为自己很用功很在的，那是其实是自己不够努力哈，不够努力在自己心境上是下功夫，没有在或者是说没有真正的呢为众生来奉献。
If you think that you have worked really hard as a practitioner already, yet the effect, the results that you encounter is still unchanged, it's still not as you desired, it's actually a sign telling you that you haven't worked hard enough. At least you haven't worked hard enough on your mind, on transforming your very mind. That's why the result hasn't changed.
他相信嘛，所以因果是不会骗人的，所以这个真的是因果不骗人的，真的是一切都是自己造的，这万般由不得人，这一切的自然就是这样子的，这自然的果报。
So everything is created by our past deed. The laws of cause and effect. It stays true and through your own action, you can look at what you have done in the past.
好，我们回来，我们离题太多了哈。我们讲念念无字呢，然后就讲到哇，太念念有字了，太多的念头。
We have actually departed too far from the text. Again, we were talking about having no obstructions in every thought, and compare that with our daily lives, our actual practice. We are actually very.Obstructed, very attached to a lot of things.
所以我们结一下哈，这个念念无字呢，并不是说我们没有念头。
So again, going back to this phrase, to be unobstructed in every thought, it doesn't mean that we have no thought.
心里头完全没有念头，诸位想想看，那是什么状况
？If there's no thought at all in your mind, can you imagine what?Kind of state that would be if you have absolutely no thought in your mind.
师父常常说那是水里的石头，石头。
So there's a saying that if you have no thought at all, actually that would resemble a a rock, a stone soaking in cold water.
人啊，都有念头。
As a human being, it's natural that we have thoughts.
但是就是我们对我们念头啊，怎么去处理？念头起来之后呢，就让它过去。
So the key point is not to get rid of the thoughts, but the key point is in how do we deal with the thought? And the practice is to whenever you give rise to the thought, do not be attached to it. Simply let it pass.
念头过去之后呢，你不要再对那念头有什么非常的这个怀念啊，或追悔啊。
And as soon as a thought has passed,Do not dwell on it, and do not keep thinking about your past thought, nor should you feel a lot of regret for a past thought. Simply let it pass.
如果你认为这念头呢，对你有什么多大的、什么多大、有什么意义、有这样的这么重要的这个事情呢，那你心里就有事了，那你就麻烦了。
And if you assign great significance to a particular thought, thinking that it's so meaningful to you or it's life-altering, then actually you have become very attached to it.
所以现在讲到平等哈，我们要对我们心里头所浮起的念头呢，你就要平等心、平常心的看待，不论它是什么样好坏，什么念头呢，你就是平常心的看待。
So when we talk about equanimity, treating everything as equal, that's the way you should regard your thoughts as well. No matter what the thought is, treat them as equal, as ordinary. Don't be especially attached to any particular one.
能够用平常心看待你心里所起的任何念头呢，那你就心里就没有事呢，那就常能够平静。心里能够常常保持平静呢，你就能够见到你的心的本你的本性，那这个时候才有智慧。
And if you're able to practice equanimity, in terms of how you regard your thoughts, every single thought, treat them all as equal, then you will be able to derive tranquility, peacefulness of mind. And if you're able to have a settled mind, have a tranquil mind, then you will be able to see your true nature.
大家听得懂这一段吗？有没有疑问？
Do you understand this part?
可以用譬喻哦，可以用譬喻哦，就像这个水，这水如果波涛汹涌，起伏高低不定，常常在动荡的话，你可以见到水底的真实面貌吗？见不到。你就让它保持平静，你就可以看到水底的真实状况。那也是一样，我们心也是这样子，常常你说常常起伏，常常一下欢喜，一下讨厌，一下怎么样？一下哀哀怨怨，一下怎么样的，那你就是心就朦胧了，没有办法真正有真实智慧。处理事情呢，就没有智慧。
Let me give you an analogy. It's just like water, and if there are a lot of waves and on the surface of water, and a lot of swirls, movements, then you will never be able to see the clear bottom of that water.And same thing with your mind. If your mind is constantly erupting with emotions and thoughts, you would not be able to see your true wisdom that lies within.
这边讲所谓智慧的意思，说你的心非常平静、很安定的处理身边的这一切的这个事啊，或一些对待一切的人啊，那你就能够不带感情，但也不会很冷酷的，就是佛法的道理，中庸之道哦。这中道的这道理呢，来处理事情呢，那才是这个的真，就是心的真实妙用，那才是真，这个才叫真的功德。
And so to have a settled and tranquil mind, it means that you will be able to deal with things with wisdom, and without too much emotions clouding your vision, clouding your mind.And when I say not having too much emotion, it doesn't mean you're unfeeling and being cold. That's not the way either. It just simply means that you're able to see things true nature and deal with it accordingly.
好，这第一句讲完了。信心是公平人士德，念念无智，常见本性真实妙用，名为功德。这一段落，这大家有没有疑问啊？
So we finish explaining this first phrase. seeing your own nature as merit and equanimity is virtue, to be unobstructed in every thought, constantly seeing the true, real, wonderful function of your original nature is called merit and virtue. So we finish explaining this. At this point, do you have any questions?
这边前面讲渐进式功平等式的是告诉我们用功的这种这个你用功的你的心性自然慢慢的转换了你的我们心本性那种平等这个本性这个德用自然呈现你看一切世间是世间的万事万物呢你能看到它平等性你看它真实的看到真实的道理平等就是平常性来对待那怎么我们你们会讲说那这个叫渐进要有能够开悟的人才会这样才能悟到那我们是不是不能用呢
So again going back to this phrase seeing your own nature is merit and equanimity is virtue it actually means if as long as you're exerting effort practicing then your mind will gradually be transformed so some of you may askIf you talk about seeing your own nature as merit, so what about us, those of us who haven't seen our own nature, how do we practice?
我们看一切的万事万物呢，不要把自己太多的我思、我见、我想放进里面去。
Actually, in our everyday setting, when we deal with all sorts of phenomena, do not put in too much of your own opinions or your own views or your own thought.
这里告诉我们呢，常常要练习念念无字嘛，这是方法，修行的方法，念头过去就好了，不要给他这么多的意想，说这个代表什么，这有什么意义，让你这个整个你的心就卷入进去了，你就没办法清清楚楚来处理身边的这个事，来接待身边的人。
So, Again, we should constantly remind ourselves to be unobstructed in every thought. This is the focal point of our practice. Do not be attached to a single thought and do not attach too much significance to any particular thought.
那知道吗？我后面讲有没有清楚啊？就是让一切万事万物呢恢复它本来的状态，该怎么样就怎么样。你不要加入你自己的思想见解，自己以为进去。
So do not attach too much significance or do not overthink, overanalyze and thinking this thing should be this way or that. Actually, let things reveal itself and treat them according to each of their own nature.
其实可以说是回复一切回复到简单啊。
And to put it in a more layman's term, to make everything simple, simplify.
有没有一点 听得懂的意思啊？有没有一种知道怎么用功？知道吗？哈。
Do you understand what I'm saying? Talking about, do you know how to practice? Does it give you a direction?
好，我们接着下来第二句喽。
So let's move on and talk about the second phrase.
内心谦下是功，外行于理是德。
Which is inner humility is merit, and the outer practice of reverence is virtue.
其实这一句呢，其实说是说明哈，我们那个是表现，说明表现这个，在日常生活之中，我们这个功德的这种相貌，我们呢、啊，其实功德不就是在我们身心上面表现嘛？我们日常生活之中怎么表现这个，跟功德相应？
So actually this phrase is a description of what merit and virtue would look like in our everyday life, in the form that it takes, how it translates into our own action.
内心谦下，这是讲我们的心要谦虚，要这个就是这个下呢，就是基本上这下呢，就是你就是比较就是一个柔软心啊。你如果相反的，就是我们说上的话，就是一种高傲心，就是一种这个傲心，这种气盛的心。那这样子呢，其实就是当然了，我如果我们这个我很自我中心很强的人呢，他这个这一定是非常的 我非常的强，那他就没办法前，没办法下。
So inner humility is talking about that we should be humble in our mind, in our conduct. And when you are humble, you are very gentle and tender. On the other hand, if someone is arrogant, then this person is full of him or herself and is extremely egotistic and really harsh.
然后在外形与里呢，就是正好是讲内心，然后再来我们的身口，就行于外的这个表现呢，你就是非常就是很有礼貌，很有礼仪的。
So, being humble is referring to your mind, and the outer practice in terms of your behavior is to be reverent and to be very mindful of being polite and mannerism.
我们现在讲第一句哈，内心谦下。
So we'll talk about the first one, to be humble, humility.
这个我们的每个人的根基不同哈，谦虚呢，这个其实谦虚的这个美德哈，也是非常不容易哦。尤其我们修行人哈，我们稍微有一点点的觉得自己有点修行了，自己有点说这个说，基本上就是安定力啦，应该是定啦，基本上是定的，就觉得自己蛮有修行的，能好像能够如如不动了，心能如如不动呢，是相对的呢，你那这个我呢。其实就是就开始开始就是抬头了。
So inner humility, all sentient beings have different roots, and people are able to practice this to a different extent. And oftentimes for practitioners and for those that practice samadhi, if you have experienced certain benefits from samadhi, the power of concentration. And you feel that, oh, I'm actually quite good, and I am practicing, then in those situations, it means your ego is already giving rise, has already arisen.
这个讲个例子哈，有两个，有其实蛮多例子的，其实太多例子了哈，我们就讲简单两个例子就好。这个这也是师父讲过的，就是过去呢，在我们台湾呢，有一个那个老居士哦，他其实在他应该是还没有那个时候蛮有名的，可以说是大居士，大居士。
Let me give you a few examples, two examples. Well, actually, stories of arrogance and humility. There's many, many of them, but let me just give you two of them. So, 师父 told us about the story. Back in Taiwan, a few decades ago, there was a great practitioner. This person was actually quite famous, and he's a teacher of Buddha Dharma, a lay person.
也可能呢，那个时候呢，可能我们出家人可能也不是很争气吧，可能最早期的，早期的时候，当然后来师父那一代呢，还有那个星云法师呢，当然还有正言法师，他们那一代的奴隶呢。慢慢的佛教的那种内容呢慢慢提升，但是就是总之那时候的那个居士呢，他可能用功的蛮好，他就以为呢，应该是讲这样说，那个时候的出家人都没有修行。
So again, this story happened several decades ago, and so back then, perhaps at that time, the monastics were not they did not earn enough respect from the populace, and it was later on in Shifu's generation through Shifu and Master Chengyan of Ziji and another Master Xingyun, where monastics gradually start to bloom. But back then, several decades ago, this lay person was actually quite knowledgeable about Buddha Dharma. And at that time, he felt that the monastics really, there's not much to those monastics, and he does not care too much for them.
因为他也是蛮用功的嘛，所以他就是有，他坐下有很多的学生啊，也算是算他弟子啊，他们都称他老师啊，所以他就跟常常跟他的学生讲说， 现在的出家人都没有修行啊，所以但是我们见了他还是礼拜他，让他们升起惭愧心。
So, this lay person who was well versed in Buddha Dharma, and he actually became a teacher, and he had a lot of followers, and people call him teacher. And this lay person then said to his students, saying, "Oh, you know what? You know, monastics, the monks and nuns, you know, there aren't that many great practitioners among them, but." Whenever you see a monastic, you should still prostrate and bow down to these monastics. Why should we do that? Because you want to put them to shame, to make them feel shameful of their lack of practice.
啊，就有一次，有一个学他的学生呢，就来就是道农禅师，他有事要就是要找师父处理什么事情。他见了师父，他也是就是他老师交代要拜，就顶礼师父呢。他拜了顶礼完师父，他就。就跟说我是某某老师的学生，然后师父听到的时候马上说我惭愧我惭愧。
So a student of this great layperson, this teacher, one day came to visit 师父, and this student followed his teacher's advice and went ahead and bowed down in front of 师父, prostrated in front of 师父, and later on this student told 师父,Oh, I am so-and-so teacher's student. And upon hearing that, Shifu stood up immediately and said, Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so shameful. I'm so shameful of my lack of conduct. Again, that's another way for Shifu to demonstrate his special humor.
那位学生就眼睛看着师父，就想师父讲这话。他说，你不是要叫我心惭愧吗？他说是的，我老师是这样讲的，但是我要叫法师这样去忏悔，我好像也不对呢。
So 师父 asked this student saying, Isn't that so? Isn't that what your teacher told you? That even though you don't respect me, but you should still bow in front of me to make me feel shameful, to make me embarrassed. And the students then in turn answered, Yeah, that is what my teacher taught. But now thinking of it,If I really do carry that kind of mentality when I bow down to you, you know, instead of showing real respect, if I'm merely trying to make you feel embarrassed and shameful, if that's the case, then my mentality is not upright either, and that is not a right conduct.
我们来分析一下哈，他在事项上也是要顶礼哈，但是他顶礼的时候心里想说，我比你好。心里正想啊，因为他老师已经告诉他出家也没有修行，但是他是你拜啊，你拜，但你心里一直想说，我比你有修行。请问这个心是什么心？是谦上还是谦下？是非常我慢的心啊。
So let us analyze this story a little bit more. So if a person is prostrating in front of a monastic, and but while he prostrates, he keeps thinking.Even though I'm bowing down to you, but I really think I'm a better practitioner than you. I'm better cultivated. In that case, do you think this person is really showing true humility or is merely being arrogant?
这是一种人哈，这个当然人是百百种的。有人就是表现以外，就是我比你羞耻，他就是不顶礼你，就是这样子，就是这样。那有人是还顶礼你，但心里讲说我看不起你。
So there are many different types of people, and in terms of arrogance, there are different manifestations. For some people, they show it outwardly. So if they think, I don't respect you, why should I bow down to you? In that case, then they don't bow to teachers. But there is also another kind of people where even if they don't feel any true respect, they will still they will still show external actions of reverence.But yet, in their inside, in their own mind, they don't hold any true respect.
这两个都不对哈，都还是个我的一个我慢的心，我好，我有羞耻那种心，其实都不是佛法。这个禅定讲的内心谦下，那没有功啊。
And of course, neither one of these are correct. If you keep thinking that I am better than you, that means you are very attached to your sense of self and very egotistic. And this is complete opposite of what's been talked about here about inner humility.
另外一个一个另外一个是在当时台湾也蛮轰动的哈，有一个在家的菩萨呢，他说他证到阿罗汉果，你们有没有听过的？李什么去奢望了？
So there's another story. It was actually quite popular in Taiwan a while back, where there was a lay person who claimed that he had attained arhatship.
Because he said he had attained arhatship. This is someone asked him, "You say you have attained arhatship. Does anyone have evidence for you?"
So this person himself claimed that he had attained arhatship. And so someone challenged him saying, well, if that's based on your personal claim, but have you sought confirmation from any teachers?
他说没有，我是自证自明自悟的。
And this person instead said, nope, there's no need. I attained arhatship by myself, and I attained enlightenment by myself, and that's why I don't need to see confirmation.
然后这个对方就说，那你要不要找一个人呢？这个来证明看看你现在是证到你是证到什么样程度呢
？So another person, the other person, advised. Well, I don't know about that. Then don't you think you should try to see confirmation from someone else to ascertain your attainment, or at least tell you how far along you have?How far you have achieved?
他说这个很困难哦，这个现在目前世界上呢，只有我一个人证阿罗汉了，没有人能够证明这个，这可能没有人能证明我是阿罗汉。
So the person who claimed he had attained arhatship then replied to the advice saying that, well, it will be hard to find someone to give me confirmation because.Right now, looking around in the world, I am the only person who had attained arhatship. So I don't think there's anyone else that's qualified to give me confirmation.
对方说，你去问看看嘛。现在在就是在台湾哈，现在在电台上呢，还是电台有一位法师，不是指师父哦，一位法师常常在讲禅啊，他应该懂到一些，应该懂得一些。你去请问他看看，到底你的现在是什么样境界
？So the other person then said.Well, you know, still, go look around. And right now, on television station and radio, there is a monastic, and this is not referring to Shifu, this is another person. There's a monastic that often talks about Chan and talks about meditation. Maybe you should go seek advice from this person, and maybe he's able to tell you or give you some kind of confirmation about your attainment.
他这个菩萨就说：“好，如果你们一定要我去那个呢，我就不显现卑劣身呐、啊，我是不显现卑劣身去请教他们这样，现卑劣。
Well, so this self-proclaimed arhat then said, "Okay, fine. If you guys insist, then I will be humble."I will humble myself and try to seek confirmation from this other person.
但是我心里知道没有人能证明我的。
Whereas in truth, I really know there's no one can give me true confirmation because I'm the only person who has attained arhatship.
这位菩萨的心是什么心呢、啊？也非常的傲慢，而且这真的是我非常的很强哦，很高很大，这个自我中心非常的这个。这个离道可很远啊。
So what do you think? What do you think is the state of this person? So this person actually is extremely egotistic and has a really, really strong sense of self. And so this self-proclaimed arhat is actually very, very far away from the true way.
如果他们前面这两个例子对的话，那谭经就有问题了。谭经这边讲说，这个内心是要谦虚啊，要就是非常的这个。非常的这个柔软的心啊，但是这前面两句例子刚好相反，所以这应该都有问题哈、哦。
So the two stories I share with you are in direct contradiction to the Platform Sutra. So those people are actually quite problematic in the practice.
不过那位刚刚讲的第二个例子呢，后来呢，他自己也忏悔，后来他自己知道，后来生病嘛，他生了病了，然后还请教，我记得他的故事是后面呢，其实那时候他真的才在十几年前的事情了，大概有没有十年前，大十年前左右，后来他生了病，还请人家叫他念佛，他自己发现到，哎。这阿罗汉怎么会是这个境界这么差？所以他自己后来就好像有，他是不是登报啊忏悔，说他自己过去那种我慢心，那种错误的那种烦恼心，而且目空无切，一切目空无人啊，把他当成大德，那就认为说他自己才当，这只有他真的阿罗汉，他是这当时是这样子的，后来他自己好像。有当是登报还是怎么当众忏悔他过去的，然后就赎他的那种过吧。
Fortunately, in the second story, this person actually later on repented. He got sick, and through sickness, he realized, well, if I think I'm an arhat, how could the experience be so shallow, and how could I suffer so much? So he realized that he was extremely arrogant before and extremely egotistic. So he, I don't quite remember, maybe he made a public announcement in the newspaper, or maybe he repented in front of a great assembly. But he, in any case, he repented his past arrogance and realized that he was actually at fault.So he resorted back to the practice of reciting Buddha's name.
所以我们讲到这一句的内心谦下是功了，真的是我们用功修持呢，你就会不断的发现到什么，就我们的种种的不足，就是我有种种的烦恼，怎么种种的这种，就是总是觉得自己在很多的缺点，很多的缺失要修正，总是觉得自己不足，就那种低下心是应该是很低下，越修持呢。也看到自己过去种种的不是，他知道吗？所以整个会洗头换面，整个就是说我们说脱胎换骨啊，整个就是这也没有一个我了，就是总是觉得自己很惭愧，很忏悔，这总是就是这样的心，应该是这样的心啊。越修应该越这样的，应该是这样的转变，而不是越来说哦，我修得非常好，我非常的是个大修行人，一切这是不对的哈。
So if you are practicing correctly and if you dedicate yourself and working hard on this practicing of humility, instead of becoming arrogant and thinking that you're better than anyone else, you should be able to start seeing your own insufficiency, your own flaws. And the more you practice, the better you practice, you're able to become more and more humble. You will realize... In the past, you had made many erroneous conduct, and you should repent for them. And that shows that you're on the right track.
总是见到自己种种的过，不见众生种种的非。大家了解吗？只见自己种种过，不见众生种种非。
So the right indicator is that you should see your own flaws and not seeing other people's mistakes.So you focus on yourself and try to improve yourself instead of the more you practice, you start to pick on other people. That would not be the right way.
如果我们真的有一点点羞耻哈，或比其他的一些同才呀，或者是比起过去中有一点点的进步呢，那还是一样，现在很有谦虚，还是在低下的。如果还有这种我慢呢，其实是对自己这种伤，而且是损己也伤人。对于我们修持呢是没有加分的。
So even if you have attained certain level of practice, you should still remain humble or even become more and more humble. And to be arrogant, you're actually harming yourself.
时间到了，刚好准时。
Time's up again.
有没有问题？
Do you have any questions?
我这个六句讲不完哦。
Even though there are only six.
本来还想说把六句讲三次讲完，结果我看 是不可能的。
Even though there's only six phrases, I don't think I can finish them. I was hoping to finish all explaining these six phrases with three lectures, but I don't think we will be able to finish.
因为要讲一些故事比较能够了解道理，那你们有没有觉得才了解里面的这个会比较就比较能够心里就有所体会领会，就比较知道什么，或者是进一步想知道怎么去自己怎么调我们自己心，那趋向于道。所以我觉得要多讲举故事举例子，让大家更了解。
The reason why the lectures and the explanation gets longer and longer is because I feel it's necessary to provide you with some concrete examples and stories. Do you find that to be so? Does it help to make it more clear? Okay.
好，我们就来一个 ending 啊。
Okay, let's end by reciting the verse on merit transfer.
这个是英文先生。
May the virtuous merits adorn and glorify the pure land of the Buddhas. Upwardly we repay the four layers of gratitude. Downwardly we alleviate the sufferings of the three destinies. May those who see and hear the Dharma generate Bodhi mind. Exhausting this body of retribution, may we be born in the land of supreme bliss.
愿以此功德庄严佛净土，上报四重恩，下济三途苦。若有见闻者，悉发菩提心，尽此一报身，同生极乐。